Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course. So you say that when you finally decided to become vegan, you were miserable about it. Why?
Because I grew up in a family of foodies and chefs and butchers and even hunters. There's animal heads on my parents' walls. We ate lots of meat and cheese and foamy lattes in the morning. And so animal products were very much a part of my life. And so when I decided to make this change, I did it because I felt like I had to, not because I wanted to. And so I was really worried that I was going to miss all of those delicious foods. And so that's why I was pretty sad at first.
So what happened? Why did you make that choice?
I watched a documentary and I switched overnight. I went through my kitchen and got rid of everything that wasn't vegan and just kind of restarted my new life. And I followed that with every documentary on health, animal rights, the environment, and every book I could get my hands on. And everything I read and watched just continually pointed me in that direction. And so I knew I had to do it.
So that first documentary had the impact of you going into your kitchen and clearing it out.
Yeah.
What's this documentary?
The first one I watched was called Veducated.
Veducated. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's just about three people being dared basically to go vegan for a month.
So what happened then when you told your family, this is what I'm doing?
Well, unfortunately, I made the unwise decision of going vegan right around Christmas time.
Oh, girl.
everyone was pretty surprised. You know, the usual questions, where you get your protein and all this stuff. And I think a lot of people thought that I wasn't going to stick to it. It was just kind of some weird diet trend I was going to do for a minute. So it was a big shock.
So what happened at Christmas dinner then? What was the change for you?
Well, the first Christmas dinner was pretty sad because I hadn't really figured it out yet.
So were you just like at the cauliflower, just sort of stuffing your face?
Or, yeah.
I just like made that up. I don't know what
you mashed potatoes would... and, you know, just kind of be like, cool, I'll just have salad. Don't worry, it got much better.
I was just going to say things must have changed. And you did mention the questions that people say right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And one of them has to do with protein.
Absolutely.
What do you say to them?
All whole plant foods contain protein, and all of them contain enough protein that it's actually impossible to be protein deficient. Like, have you ever met anyone who's gone to the hospital with protein deficiency ever in your life?
I mean, I've never heard of that.
No, it's not true. But people go to the hospital all the time for heart problems, but no one ever worries about too much meat. Just saying.
Some people have to.
Yeah.
So where's your family at now in terms of understanding where you're coming from? Or have any of them have been?
It's a word. You can say it.
What's the word? Veganized?
Veganized.
Okay.
A couple of my cousins have gone vegan, which is awesome. And then in general, my family's just making more vegan choices all the time. My parents don't eat much dairy anymore, and they really, really have limited their eating of meat, especially because of the environmental impact that affects them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's better, yeah. And then every time I come home, it's just like a giant vegan feast. So it's a total flip.
You mean they do it for you?
Yeah, both. Yeah, they're excited to like share new ideas and things they've come up with. Yeah, it's
That's
really
awesome.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to make you like some crazy different animal. Who is this vegan person? Because in my family, we don't cook meat either. We actually cook fish, but most of the times we eat fairly vegan. So this is not new to me. But in terms of the hunting with your family, how has that conversation changed?
It's my uncle that mainly hunts, so I don't really talk to him about it. Like, I'm not going to tell anyone what to do. And I don't know. People could do what they want, but I just try to influence them with positive things. I'm not someone who's going to be angry about it and yell at people because I don't think that'll win anyone over.
That's true. So this is not the only major transition you've gone through, too.
Mm-hmm.
You quit your job as an art director to pursue your passion for cooking full time. What was that like?
It was amazing. First of all, I developed this passion that I didn't even know I had. Because like I had worked in art and design all over the place. And I thought kind of once I got to the top as art director, I would love what I was doing because I was in charge. And I always knew I wanted to be in charge. But in this case, I was still working for someone else's company, making someone else's product, and I didn't love it. And so when I went vegan and I felt that there was a need that I had to show my friends and family in the world that you could make delicious vegan food, inspiration peaked. And so, then I quit my job. Well, actually, I worked for about 2 years on my blog. And then I quit my job. I wasn't that crazy. I built something first.
It wasn't a stark like flip.
Yeah.
And your blog is called It Doesn't Taste Like Chicken.
That's right.
So why did you call it that?
When I first went vegan, I started looking around for recipes and inspiration. And I found a lot of the blogs out there were really quite serious. Everything was very animal rights focused or super, super health focused. It was all kale and quinoa and energy balls, and that's fine, but it just wasn't what I wanted. So I kind of wanted to express my lighthearted approach of vegan cooking and playing on that old saying that everything tastes like chicken. So it doesn't taste like chicken.
Yeah, I was just going to say, some people get a little bit upset with vegans or vegetarians trying to pretend that something tastes like another. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on that? Do you truly think that things do taste like the other, or do you feel that these are separate foods?
I think things can. Like, I think Doomies and Hogtown Vegan do some great replicas if that's what you're looking for. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because, hey, if you're not eating the animals, that's great. Personally, I don't love that stuff as much. I prefer just to use vegetables and different flavors and represent those flavors for what they are. And I don't make un-chicken. I just make...
What is un-chicken?
It's a term that people use a lot. You know, they'll make a chicken-like thing. And so they'll do, like, fried seitan or something like that. But instead of calling
it that.
Crispy fried seitan, they'll call it unchicken.
I mean, I liked it.
No, it's delicious. Yeah. It's delicious, but I just don't like to call something un-something. I like to call it what it is and not what it isn't.
Right. Okay. Why did you want to write a cookbook? You moved from a blog and you have a YouTube channel. Why this medium?
Well, Appetite by Random House approached me, so I was incredibly lucky that way. And I'd actually never thought about writing a cookbook in my life, but I guess once you start writing a blog and you're outputting recipes constantly, it's kind of a natural progression.
So you had enough material.
Yeah, well, actually, most of the content in the cookbook is brand new.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yes, it was a huge amount of work. Yeah, no, and so it was a really, really fantastic project. I'm so proud of it. There's only about 20 recipes from the blog, and I wrote and recipe tested all the recipes. I did all the photography. I did much of the design. I even designed my own font. So I really, really put my heart into this book.
You really did. My goodness. And that is a really cute font, actually. I like it.
Thank you. You know, there was a comment on my blog once. Someone was like, your font is ugly. And I'm like, cool, that's my handwriting. Thank
so
you.
You've got your art direction background connecting with this new love of yours. What did you learn about yourself while you were making the book?
That's a good question. I think I really narrowed in what my focus of vegan cooking was. I was a little bit testing things here and there, and I really just focused and kind of gave up on the idea that I should be health focused or any of these things. I think that's great. A lot of people do that, but I kind of just want to like chill out and make an easy, quick meal and get it done and have it be delicious. I don't want to have to worry about sprouts and, I don't know, weird powders and stuff. I just want waffles and burritos and burgers and pizza. You
know? Which is what you've got in the book.
Exactly. Yeah.
Although there is also a barbecue cauliflower steak.
Yes.
What is that? Okay. I'm going to try it because I went through and I thought, steak? I don't eat steak, but I would try this. So I'm going to get back to you on that one.
Yeah.
So I have a girlfriend who posted on a question on Facebook about recipes because she and her husband have decided to try Meatless Mondays.
Woohoo. That's great.
What kind of advice do you have for people who are just starting out?
I would say just experiment, try new things. But then also the wonderful thing about eating vegan is that it's generally less calorie dense. So you get to eat a lot more. Go back for seconds, even thirds.
Okay. Sam, thank you so much. And good luck on this book.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll tell everyone about it.
All right. Wicked.
Sam Turnbull is the creator of It Doesn't Taste Like Chicken blog. She's coming out with her first cookbook, Fuss Free Vegan, on October the 17th. It is published through Appetite by Random House. And if you want recipes and more, you can check out Sam's website at itdoesnttastelikechicken.com. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.